Oh, big show today. So big, I don't even know if we're going to be able to talk about the All-Star Game starters. Are you disappointed about that?
No. Us not talking about them?
Or? Yeah.
Yes.
Really?
No, I don't care.
Yeah, not so much.
All right, good.
At least Omar Infante didn't make it.
Yeah, yeah, we can all be happy about that. Four Royals are starting in the game.
It'll be hilarious if Ned Yost puts Omar Infante on the roster. Oh, I need a utility guy.
No, that would not be hilarious. That would be anger.
It's happened before,
incited.
But when Infante was better.
Yeah.
Well, it's Monday, July 7th. Hope everybody had a great 4th of July weekend, 3-day weekend. Hope you enjoyed the mailbag when we had Heath Cummings on the show. I understand that the Daily Fantasy Live show is moving to 4 p.m.
It is.
You understand that correctly.
Today.
Well, that's
which
great.
Which means I come into this podcast actually prepared to talk about DFS.
Oh, well, that's great, too, because I'm not as prepared as I'd like to be. So we will discuss some DFS, some FanDuel a little bit later, and, of course, watch Daily Fantasy Live no longer at 6 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Eastern on CBSSports.com. Email us at fantasybaseball@CBSI.com. I'm getting a lot of emails about Miguel Cabrera. We're going to talk about a bunch of starting pitchers who had really interesting weekends. The bats are heating up. Milwaukee's been hitting very well. Carlos Gomez dealing with a little bit of an injury. We'll do a rookie watch. Look at all the rookies that were relevant over the weekend. Most added, most dropped. Here we go. Email of the day is from Oliver Marcel from French Lick, Indiana. It sounded made up to me.
No, it's where Larry Bird's from.
Well, I know, but the whole Oliver Marcel from, I don't know. Oliver Marcel, I Googled
it's French.
It. He was a Negro Leagues player, but I don't think he had any affiliation with the French Lick. Whether or not this is fake, here's the real email. What is Miguel Cabrera's trade value in a 12-team head-to-head points league? I've been offered Joey Votto straight up for Miguel Cabrera. My league playoffs start week 19, and my team is on the bubble to make it. And Cabrera's out at least 6 weeks with a calf injury.
6 weeks is a long time. Technically, it's more like 5 weeks of play because the All-Star break is coming up, so that's something to keep in mind. But at the same time, you're talking late August in an optimistic scenario. He was offered Joey Votto straight up. I think, given the timing of this injury, how late in the season it is, I might be tempted to take that.
I'm pretty sure I would take it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. You know, good. Because last week I thought you guys were a little bit too reluctant to trade Giancarlo Stanton.
Well, what we kind of set the line to Puig, right? I feel like this is an equivalent kind of swap.
Except this is a much worse injury. You know, it's 2 extra weeks potentially, and it's at least 6 weeks they're saying right now.
Yeah. So and it's a week later, too.
It is a week later, exactly.
And I think Giancarlo Stanton, they were thinking 4 to 6 weeks, right?
Right.
Yeah. All right, the other thing is, for all the people who didn't draft Miguel Cabrera because they were fearing an injury, they probably feel justified now. Like me.
I guess. I mean, he was... I think it was more just fearing his... decline last year as related to the injury more than just, oh, he's going to get hurt.
I'm pretty sure I am going to move Paul Goldschmidt ahead of him now.
Oh, yeah. It's about time.
Okay. Quote of the day. I thought this was interesting. In a weekend full of good pitching performances, this quote really stood out to me from Matt Williams, Jordan Zimmerman's manager. He said, I just think he's got a feel for his breaking pitches that he didn't have necessarily early in the season. It probably helps that it's gotten warmer and more humid and can grip the ball better. Zimmerman yesterday, 1 run on 3 hits, 8 strikeouts in 7 innings against the Giants. Last 3 starts, 1 earned run in 22 1/3. 2 of those were against the Braves without Freddie Freeman. So, you know, we normally talk about stud pitchers. Are they really stud pitchers? Jordan Zimmerman, excellent start, 3 in a row now. What do you think?
Yeah, it looks like he's back to being Jordan Zimmerman, maybe. I'm still not going to expect him to be last year's Jordan Zimmerman. But, you know, as we've said many times, he doesn't really need to be somebody that you would start every week.
Right. All right.
Yeah. I don't know about the warm weather thing, though. I'd always heard just the opposite, that cold weather favors pitching. So, I mean, I guess I can understand the grip angle because even though I live in South Florida now... I've been in cold weather before. I've camped out in cold weather before back in my scouting days.
Oh.
And I remember it gets cold enough that just going to simple tasks like
starting a fire.
You know, you're changing clothes and you unzip your pants and you can't grab the zipper.
I'm glad you said zipper there.
Yeah.
See, this is why we have the best podcast. We have a scout on the show. That's what makes Scott White so good. Scouting background.
Looking at the career splits, this is not nearly as interesting as Scott's scouting adventures. But March-April split for his career is 3.12 ERA. May is his worst. I'm sorry, second worst month, 3.93. He's actually been worse in July. So Matt Williams, check the data.
Okay. There you go. Analytics, Matt Williams. I'll go through some of the big news here. Oh, Steven Strasburg. Things were going so well for 2.5 starts. Now he's back on the DL with an oblique injury. Taylor Jordan was called up. First of all, do we know anything about a timetable for Strasburg? And secondly, are we interested in maybe Joe Ross? Could he get called up?
Well, that was my first thought when I saw this injury to Strasburg. That guy didn't deserve to go back down. And I was holding on to him even after he got optioned, hoping a Doug Fister injury would happen, and it didn't. So I would assume that he would be the guy. I don't know why Jordan got called up instead. I could speculate maybe it's just a one turn thing, or maybe it's they're not expecting that turn to come up again before the All-Star break at all, so they didn't want to use Ross then. But I'm just speculating there. I do think we will see Ross at least take a couple turns here after the break.
Okay. No timetable necessarily on Strasburg?
Not that I've seen.
All right. Sashi Iwakuma is going to start today. He will face the Detroit Tigers without Miguel Cabrera, but with J.D. Martinez, best hitter in baseball ever. Starter sit to Sashi Iwakuma.
I'd probably start him.
Okay. That game is in Seattle.
Two starts? Like, is that the distinction there?
Oh, that's right.
Two-start week?
There'd certainly be a shot at two starts, and the two-start options this week aren't that great either, so I'd be more inclined to go with guys that are, you know, maybe only getting one start that, you know, might otherwise be a little borderline.
Okay, Roenis Elias sent to AAA. Kevin Gausman! Yeah! Finally! Okay, he's in the Baltimore rotation, coming off an excellent start over the weekend. Bud Norris was sent to the bullpen. Who's as excited as I am about Kevin Gausman?
It doesn't sound like I am, and I'm fairly excited, but you sound really excited.
Well, I noticed Adam was picking him up, everywhere.
Yeah, two leagues I picked him up. And, you know, he had a great start the same night that Manny Benuelos had, like, a ridiculously great start. And I had to choose one or the other, and I chose Gausman, and I dropped Ervin Santana for him, and then Ervin Santana. It was just a really good week of pitching.
That's really funny. I was actually just about to say, you must be very happy about Ervin Santana's start, because you kept on saying that he could really help people.
I still feel that way, but I'd rather have Gausman, who's 36% owned. Who would you rather have?
Gausman or Benuelos?
No,
Gausman.
Well, all three of those guys. Why not?
It would kind of depend on the depth of the league to me. I mean, Benuelos would be the third,
yes,
no matter what. Not that I think he's, has no chance of being useful, just he has the longest odds there. In a shallower league, I'd go with Gausman for the upside, but in a deeper league, Santana is the secure choice.
That sounds all exactly right to me.
All right, so Gausman, it doesn't sound like you guys think he is a must add. This was a player that in spring training we had very high hopes for before it seemed like he wasn't going to get a rotation spot.
Yeah, I think I have, soured is too strong a word, but I think I've definitely, you know, kind of softened my enthusiasm for him a little bit. But he still does, as Scott said, he still has the upside that we all thought he had back in March.
You know, I might not have dropped Santana for him. I might have dropped Santana for someone else. I think I might have dropped Kendall Graveman for Kevin Gausman.
That worked out equally well.
Yeah, that's a good choice. I still don't know about that Kendall Graveman, as consistent as he's been recently.
Well, and we've been saying a lot of good things about Trevor May for the past month or so, and because of Ervin Santana, he's in the bullpen now. And maybe AAA after the break.
Yeah. Wow, I did not realize that.
It stinks.
Yeah, so, him and Elias, I mean, they both pitched well for the most part, but they're donezo.
Would you rather have Andrew Heaney or Kevin Gausman?
I would rather have...
I'd rather have Heaney.
Yeah. I think I'd rather have Gausman.
I actually
feel like he has better job security than
Heaney. Yeah, I was going to say. How about Cody Anderson or Kevin Gausman?
Oh, Gausman.
Cleveland. Gausman.
Still no clear timetable for Jacoby Ellsbury's return. Steven Souza has an injured hand. He needed stitches on his finger. He's day to day. Carlos Gomez has a wrist contusion. Now, his manager, Craig Counsell, said he doesn't expect Gomez to miss much time, but we'll see. Guys, I was kind of disappointed with Gomez. He had that huge game with a grand slam and like 5, 6, 7 RBI, something like that. But Milwaukee faced terrible pitching all week. Pretty much everybody on the team is hitting great. And Gomez, other than that one game, just didn't do anything. And I know that one game was great, but...
Well, he wasn't playing.
No, he played until Sunday.
Okay. I mean,
he might have come out during Saturday's game. But even they were at the Phillies and he only had... I don't even know if he had a good game in that series. It might have been the second series, but I don't know. Is Gomez? Are you starting him this week?
Probably not. I mean, I'll keep an eye on it up till 7 o'clock. But
Josh Hamilton has a groin injury. Yeah, it's obviously we'll keep that in mind. The game started 7 o'clock, so check the lineups. Josh Hamilton has a groin injury. They're saying no DL. I don't necessarily believe them. Meanwhile, Delino DeShields is back, and he led off and played left field against the Angels on Sunday. So we'll see what happens if all the outfielders are healthy. Jaime Garcia is on the DL with a groin strain. Tim Cooney's going to start Tuesday against the Cubs. Couple of catchers that I wanted to put on some deep league radars here, see how you guys felt about them. Alex Avila playing first base Saturday and Sunday for the Tigers with Miggy out. And John Jaso could be back within days. Who do you like, Avila or Jaso?
I like Jaso a little better.
Okay.
I'm not that excited about either.
Yeah, me neither.
I'm kind of excited because Avila looks like he's going to fill in at first base that James McCann gets to stay in the lineup because I might like him better than both of these two.
Mike Moustakas left Sunday's game due to a family emergency, so check on him. Miami sent Marcell Ozuna to the minors.
Shocker.
Cole Gillespie has been playing some outfield for the Marlins.
Yeah, well, this has a probably bigger impact for Mike Morse, who looks like he's going to be the left fielder now. Yelich moving to center.
So does that keep Justin Bour in the lineup against righties?
Yeah, it does.
He had a...
Yes.
I mean, his weekend started well, homered in a fourth straight game. Then he didn't do much after that, but because he still seems to sit against left-handers, I can't get that excited about him in mixed leagues, but he's... It's just an interesting player. Definitely seems to be some power there.
Starling Marte left Sunday's game with discomfort in his side. That's never good, or rarely good. Well, it's never good. It's often very bad.
Yeah, I think that's safe to say.
And Adrian Gonzalez has a bruised hand. He thinks he's going to play today. You know, players always think that, but again, keep an eye on Adrian Gonzalez.
He's a great DFS play going against Sean O'Sullivan.
So. I know. Left-handed Dodgers, they got to be your favorite stack today.
Yep.
But
unless he takes them from me.
I'm not sure I trust Gonzalez. I have Jock Peterson in my lineup. I may have one other left-handed Dodger, but I'm not sure I want to go with Gonzalez just because of the hand.
He's only $3,000 and he's homered in back-to-back games.
I know, but he's got the injury, and then also we may not know if he's starting by the time the lineups lock.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Hey, speaking of Jock Peterson, remember when you first started doing the voice and you had to explain to Scott and me what that was from?
Uh-huh.
Well, so I did the Jock Peterson voice at home this weekend. My wife knew instantly.
Of course.
What that was from.
It's an amazing scene in an amazing movie. Good for her. Al's wife is officially cooler than Al. Is that true or false?
That's old news.
What do you think?
What's that?
Who's cooler?
Oh, she is.
She is.
It's not even close.
I want to look at the bullpen really quickly here. Roberto Ozuna got a save Sunday. Jason Mott got a save Sunday. Fernando Rodney got a save Sunday.
Somber tone.
Kenley Jansen's been struggling a bit, but look at his walk to strikeout ratio. It might be something like 1-31 this year.
Yeah, he's good.
But Ozuna, Mott, Rodney, are they the closers of their respective teams?
I'm ready to say that for Ozuna and Mott, actually. Rodney, I don't know. Just because we thought he was there a couple appearances ago, and then Carson Smith came back with a save, and just seems like Lloyd McClendon's not looking to commit to anything yet.
Okay.
But it's certainly trending more that direction. Kind of like Mott was last save chance, and because he followed it up with this one. Even though Joe Madden's not going to make this easy for us, because he never does, I'm going to say Mott is the Cubs reliever to own.
And who would you rather have, Mott or Ozuna?
Ozuna.
Yeah, I would too.
More upside, and never trust Madden to commit.
But let me just play the devil's advocate here. Are you worried that they're going to trade
for the devil?
Yeah. Are they going to trade for Papelbon or someone else?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
No, I think so, which is why I hesitated, because if I felt like Ozuna's job was secure, that would be a no-brainer to take him over Mott.
Fair enough.
We briefly talked about FanDuel. We'll get more into it later in the show if we have time. FanDuel's awesome, changing the way people play fantasy sports. Get on there and start right now if you haven't already started, and use our offer code CBSPOD. CBSPOD is our offer code to get this great deal for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel's going to match it up to $200 that gets earned as you play. Dollar for dollar, up to $200 that gets earned as you play. Here's how FanDuel works. You get fake money. You get a salary cap. Every player that's going today is priced, and you have to choose the best team. Chris Sale is the most expensive player today. I don't know. You might want to avoid him going against the Blue Jays. Kind of a tough matchup, but he's kind of an awesome pitcher. And then if you win, you win some real money. So check it out, FanDuel.com, and use our offer code CBSPOD. Who'd you guys add and drop this week? Anything extremely interesting?
Not extremely interested, but I found myself surprisingly aggressive in going after Tommy Pham.
That is surprising. Yes.
These mostly in some deeper leagues where I have Stanton and the waiver wire options are really uninspiring. And I think Pham's got some upside. I know he's 27, so it's not really likely that he's gonna realize that upside. But he seems to be getting a chance now to play in center field, and it's let off.
And yeah, for the Cardinals.
Why not?
Yep.
What does he do well?
He has some power.
Some power?
Yeah.
He's got two doubles and a home run and a steal in three games.
The guy I was adding in every league, and it really didn't seem to matter whether it was Roto or points, Cesar Hernandez, who I think has secured a job even when Utley comes back, because it's not like they can't make room for him in that lineup. He is stealing a ton of bases. I do think he's legitimately a good contact hitter. Here we go. Let me pull up the numbers here. Last 9 games, 8 stolen bases, a perfect 8 for 8, and he's 19 for 38, so he's batting .500. And eligible at second, third, and most notably shortstop. Maybe if your points league only awards 1 point for a stolen base instead of 2, you could pass him over, because that's the main thing he's going to contribute. But in our standard format with the 2 points per stolen base, I do think he has a very good chance of being a top 8 shortstop rest of way with that stolen base potential. So, I'm buying into him.
I don't know how owned Rougned Odor is at this point, but people got to get on Rougned Odor, right?
Oh, yeah.
He's 53% owned.
I have to admit, I passed him over in a couple leagues, but because I didn't see really a way to get him in my lineup, better off at second base than most people are.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, he's not must. It's not like, Chris Bryant, Miguel Sano. It's not, I don't think you need to pursue him to that degree, but he'll be an upgrade for a lot of people, and he's available.
I think he's good. I don't get me wrong. I feel like since he's come back, I've been the naysayer on Odor, and all he's done is hit very well. I had him as one of my sleepers coming into the year, but I don't know. It's kind of a... I feel like if he's still out there to this point, I don't feel like I'm rushed. And if I don't have a need there, what am I going to do? Pick him up and trade him? No, because he's still out there. Anybody could pick him up. And so, and I don't feel comfortable like slotting him over my starting second baseman. So it's just kind of a roster crunch thing for me. And if I'm in that position in several leagues, I feel like a lot of other people have to be too. That being said, 18 games now since he's returned, 365, 3 home runs, 4 stolen bases, and a 996 OPS. So obviously, that's good production for a second baseman.
Yeah, and I think he's hitting, I think he doubled off Santiago over the weekend. I think he's, or maybe he homered off, whatever. I think he's hitting lefties, is what I'm trying to say. So
as a left-handed hitter.
Yeah, yeah. Odor's playing pretty well. I dropped Ivan Nova in a couple of leagues. I guess it wasn't a big waiver wire weekend for me. It doesn't sound like it was for you guys either, but
no.
Nova seems expendable. He's not bad, but there are higher upside guys out there. I'm sure you guys would drop Nova for Gausman.
Sure.
Would you drop him for Banuelos?
I probably would. I really, looking back at Nova's numbers the last few years, I'm pretty underwhelmed. I don't remember why I was feeling enthusiastic about him at the time he suffered the Tommy John.
I do.
He had the Tommy John surgery.
I do. It's because he has, every now and then, he has amazing starts.
Yeah.
I think that's why. Because I felt the same exact way, and I looked at the numbers like, really? not very overwhelming, but he can be great, and then he can be extremely hittable sometimes, like he was yesterday. So.
Yeah. No, I mean, I stashed him in deeper formats. I didn't pursue him in 12-team mixed leagues. But in a league where I've got Nova, I don't think I'm dropping him for Banuelos because I do think he'll be reliable. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a lot of faith that Banuelos is going to be very useful.
Why not?
I mean, he's had a really long history of control problems. He hasn't really been striking guys out in the minors the last couple years. And, it's just if he didn't have the start that he had, on what was it, Thursday?
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't see a lot there that really interests me.
And he is 21% owned. Banuelos threw 5 2/3, gave up 2 hits, no runs, no walks, 7 strikeouts against Washington. Let's see what he does for an encore. Okay, so we were boring with the who we added and dropped. Let's see what the people are doing. Most added, Cesar Hernandez. Brett Anderson's number 2. Gerardo Parra is number 3. And the Brewers have pretty decent matchups again this week. Miguel Sano is number 4. Andrew Heaney, 5. Mitch Moreland, 6. Irvin Santana, 7. Cody Anderson, 8. I'll stop there. Anything really jump out at you?
No, but it's making me feel better about not being that active this weekend.
But you don't like this list?
No.
I think it's a pretty solid list.
Well, obviously, Sano. I mean, still 70. He's still available in 26% of leagues, so none of mine.
Right.
That's why I wasn't adding him.
I added him in one league when he got called up, where he was still available. But
I was looking to add Brett Anderson in the league where I wanted an extra 2-star pitcher. I'm not sure if I was able to come up with anybody to drop for him or not, but I do generally like what he's done. Irvin Santana, I mean, you have to like that first start he made. At the same time, I looked back last year because I remember that was his year with the Braves, obviously. It wasn't a great year, but he did get off to a very great start and 8 shutout innings his first time out. I just thought that was an interesting coincidence that here he comes with this 8 strong in his first twin start after missing some time to begin the year. And
The thing with Santana is just, now, with the Braves, he started off really great, didn't he?
Yeah, it's a good start.
It's so many years of inconsistency with him. He certainly has the ability to pull off a great rest of season.
He does.
But it just seems like so many more times than not, he teases us with a good, month or so, and then he's somebody that's very droppable. So he's just not very high on my list of people to target. I was much more interested in getting Anderson for what looks like should be a great 2-star week. I picked up Chris Young and tried to get Matt Moore in the podcast league.
Chris Young, the pitcher.
I'm sorry, Chris Young, the pitcher, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, you can Chris Young, the hitter, was on the most added list last week. That was last week. Yeah, that doesn't need to be the case.
No.
Further down on the most added list is Alejandro Diaza, who in one of my leagues has been added and dropped like five times in the last 3 days. We don't have waivers. People don't really know what to do with him, and it's kind of interesting what the Red Sox did yesterday. They put David Ortiz at first base. He's now one game away from first base eligibility. They sat Mike Napoli. They DH'd Hanley Ramirez, which is probably a great thing for their pitchers. even though Ortiz has to play first base now, probably a good trade-off because Hanley can't play left. Diaza and Victorino and Betts started in the outfield. So, and John Farrell said something about we have to get our best lineup out there with Alejandro Diaza. So he's high on him right now. Diaza is 21% owned. What do you think about him?
If he had more secure playing time, I would think that he was pretty under-owned. But given that, at least while Victorino's healthy, I could see him starting maybe three times a week. And that's just not enough. So, and he's not, he's very inconsistent as well. So he's not the sort of guy where you think, okay, Victorino's going to get injured. I'll stash him for a few weeks. I think given the whole situation there, he's really still a deep league option.
Yeah. And he's only 21% owned, which is a deep league ownership rate, even though he's on the most added list. I could see him as a hot hand type of pickup, but there just doesn't seem to be a lot of staying power here because eventually Dustin Pedroia is going to be back, and you would assume Brock Holt would be a priority in the outfield over Diaza at that point. I think if I was picking up a hot hand outfielder, Gerardo Parra would be the better bet, and he is more owned at 49%.
How about David Peralta? Would you rather have Diaza or Peralta, who apparently is hitting lefties better, according to Chip Hale?
Yeah. I actually am very surprised that Peralta's only 32% owned now that he's playing more. And I definitely like him the best out of those three outfielders.
Over Parra and Diaza. All right. Patrick Corbin is up to 49%. What'd you think of his debut?
It wasn't great, but I'm not going to... I'm not going to hold it against him. You know, right. First start back from Tommy John surgery. It wasn't a disaster either, so that's good. I think he needs to be owned in more than 49% of leagues based on what he was doing before this surgery. I feel like he's been the least hyped of all the pitchers coming back from Tommy John surgery, which he was a top 20 pitcher his last healthy season, so deserves more credit than that.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty encouraging start, actually. For the first one.
Gausman or Corbin?
Corbin.
Corbin.
Corbin or Moore?
Moore. I do think there's more upside there.
I'd go Corbin. It's very close.
Most drop lists. Chichi Gonzalez, Joey Gallo, Nick Martinez. Ooh. We hate Rangers on CBSSports.com. Aaron Harang, who's on the DL?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
I think it's a foot thing. Let me double check.
It is a foot thing. Well, how about that?
Yes, Mike Leake. Fasciitis.
Yeah. Oh, well, that stinks. Mike Leake, Marco Estrada, Joey Butler, two of the recent flavors of the weeks. Estrada and Butler on the most drop list. Any qualms with that?
No, I think Leake and Estrada were both two start guys this week, so they classic pitch and ditch types, and unfortunately Leake really didn't do anything. I guess neither one really did too much for their owners. And Butler's just gone ice cold.
He's not playing every day anymore either,
Butler. Since they assigned Grady Sizemore, he's lost playing time.
Yeah, James Loney back in that lineup too. So they have a lot of pieces to juggle now in continuing to be a terrible offense. But they had a decent weekend, actually. I didn't even know where to begin with weekend standouts. Some of the guys that stood out to me were Kendall Graveman, who had another good one. Scott said you're not fully buying into it. Erasmo Ramirez is only 26% owned. Taylor Youngman is 15% owned. There's just too many pitching performances to even talk about. So did we miss any major weekend standouts?
Sir, there were a lot of great performances. And I know Scott's queuing up some guys, so just say real quick that guess who I talked to this weekend?
Matt Latos.
No, Taylor Youngman.
Oh, Youngman.
So it was pretty interesting conversation, and you talked a lot about the fact that he, in the minors, really struggled with control pretty badly, and something that he worked on, and at the suggestion of a minor league pitching coach, moved over towards the arm side of the rubber, which he says helped him greatly. And yet when he did it last year, he didn't have very good control. So it might be kind of a lag kind of thing where it took him time to get used to it. He did say it was kind of, it felt uncomfortable to do that at first, but you know.
But he put his pride on the shelf.
What's that?
He put his pride on the shelf.
Yes. But I mean, he's one of these guys who's been much better in the majors than his minor league numbers would suggest. And earlier this year, too, he was pitching in Colorado Springs, which is a tough environment.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you can give him a little bit of a pass there. And I think because of those minor league numbers, he might still be, I think he's under-owned at 15%. And I think he is a bit underrated given what he's done so far.
Yeah. So what kind of league would you be looking to add him in?
I did want to add him in 15-team mixed tout wars, but he was already taken. So I've definitely anything as deep as that or deeper. I'd say probably anything deeper than a 12-team mixed, actually.
Yeah, so by the way, that put your pride on the shelf thing was a YMCA joke for a young man, you know. Just so everybody knows.
Sorry that flew on by me.
That's okay. It was a tough one.
I gotta be honest, I don't know most of what they say in that song other than young man and YMCA.
That's all you really
just kind of mumble the other words.
Well, I think that joke was very underappreciated and overlooked, much like Youngman himself.
There you go. Yeah. J.D. Martinez, in his last 19 games, is slugging over 900.
Yes, he is. I was going to bring him up.
Oh, my gosh. 13 home runs and a .364 batting average in 19 games. Now, the 37 games before that, J.D. Martinez batted .256 with 4 home runs in 37 games. This is
Adam,
crazy.
You overlooked the craziest stat.
Oh, what's
last,
that?
Last 12 games, he has 10 home runs.
Is that crazier than 13 and 19? I guess it's slightly crazier, yeah.
That's 10 and 12?
They're both pretty
crazy.
Has
that ever happened before? It probably has.
I don't know.
Sounds ridiculous.
It probably has, but not that many times. That is really amazing.
Yeah.
Does that include the three-homer
game? I mean, one of
those
was a three-homer game, but still. I think look, I mean, obviously he's not going to sustain this pace. He's going to have another cold stretch at some point, but I do think he is legitimately emerging as one of the top power hitters in the game. Maybe like a Nelson Cruz type player who not going to hit for the batting average he did last year, but a 270-ish hitter with 35-plus home runs. That's kind of what I see him profiling as now.
All right, very impressive week, or very impressive three-week stretch. For J.D. Martinez, would you trade Giancarlo Stanton for J.D. Martinez?
No.
All right.
Oh, I was thinking about it.
I'm definitely thinking
He's
about
thinking
it.
He's thinking about it.
I feel like it's a situational thing, and I'm just trying to nail down the situation. Yeah, I think if it was the sort of league where I felt like I was kind of on the fringe of competing and I needed to win, much like our podcast league, where I need to win right now, then yes.
Do you own Giancarlo Stanton in that league?
I do not, so I can't put my money where my mouth is in that one.
See, I feel like there's no way I'm going to trade for J.D. Martinez right now. I fear a prolonged slump.
Yeah, I mean, what am I trying to say? I think there's some logic to that, yes, because he's been so hot for so long that you feel like it's right around the corner, and there's a good chance it is. I'd be more likely to trade for him in a roto league because of that,
mm-hmm.
where you're just counting on, okay, the end result of the next 3 months, the end result with the power numbers, they're going to look good, mm-hmm. even if they don't in the next couple weeks.
Right, that's a good point. Some more news and notes for you. Texas DFA'd Neftali Feliz. Jorge Soler is back. He's 84% owned, so Soler could be available in some 10-team leagues. Are we expecting better things from Soler?
I am, just between the time off, the recovery, and the upside. I think he's got to be better than he was earlier in the year.
John Axford back with Colorado. He got a save over the weekend. Yordano Ventura could start on Thursday for the Royals. Matt Harrison's going to make his 2015 debut for Texas on Wednesday. He's barely pitched in 2 years. So what kind of league would you be looking to add Matt Harrison in?
Maybe Al's Taylor Youngman leagues.
That's what I was
that sounds about right.
Yeah, so Harrison. not standard mix.
I'd actually rather have Youngman.
Yeah, but I think I would too.
That's about the right neighborhood.
Yeah.
Felix DuBrant could start for Toronto. Carlos Beltran's on the DL. Jared Weaver probably won't be back until after the All-Star break. And Carlos Frias is on the DL. So, where to begin? Here are some guys who are hitting well. Gene Segura, Scooter Jeanette, Jonathan Scope homered yesterday. He's got like 4 home runs in, 10 games or something this year? Jed Jerko, 7-for-22 since being recalled. Eric Ibar, Melky Cabrera, Tommy Pham, CJ Krohn. Just picking guys we haven't talked about yet. Anything from there make you want to
shout?
Yeah, make you want to shout?
Stick to middle school dance staples, YMCA and shout.
Yeah, all right. Well, do any of these guys make you want to do the Macarena?
Probably not, no. But it takes a lot to make me want to do the Macarena.
Yeah, agreed.
I mean, a few of these names do stand out. I mentioned, picking up Tommy Pham in a few leagues this week just because I think he could be a kind of a late career breakout guy. But I really, Scooter Jeanette at 12% really strikes me as just about criminally underowned. He's been really good since he's come back. He was somebody in the offseason I pegged as a potential breakout. And we certainly didn't see signs of that before he got demoted, but this is more like he's a guy who hits for average, already has doubles power, I think could be hitting for more home run power and is starting to do that already.
Well, at the same time, you take, and I know their ownership percentages aren't that close, but they're both widely available. You take Rougned Odor over Jeanette.
Yeah, I mean, they're different classes to be sure.
Well, how about Jonathan Scope or Jeanette?
I take Jeanette.
How about Jerko or Jeanette?
In that alliterative pair, I go Jeanette.
Yeah. No, I would too. I'm not as high on them as you are, but Jerko, Scope. I'm not even sure they're going to play every day.
What about Melky Cabrera? 66% owned. And by the way, if you want the batter versus pitcher all-stars for today, Melky Cabrera is starting in the outfield. 17-for-34 in his career with 2 home runs and 4 doubles against Mark Burley. And he's $2,600, but more on that in a bit. But Cabrera starting to play better since that 5-hit game and 66% owned.
Yeah, he is. It's basically a 12-game stretch where he has close to half of his season's extra base hits. Yeah, 7 of 15 during that 12-game stretch. So that's notable because if he was just getting a bunch of singles, it would have no impact on me. I still need to see a little more because he was so awful those first close to 3 months, the first half of a season.
Rookie watch. Time for the rookie watch. We're going to look at some rookies from over the weekend, starting pitchers. And here's what we're going to do. On the startometer, or the startometer, 0 to 10, 10 is must start every week. You tell me where you are with these guys right now. Just not necessarily this week with the matchups or whatever, but just in general, typical week.
Okay.
Noah Syndergaard, 0 to 10.
10.
I'll go 9. I could see sitting him if I had like a bunch of really good 2-start options and he wasn't one of them.
He's better than Clayton Kershaw now. Well, he was for one day.
Well, he was for one day. Lance McCullers.
I'll go 6, which is definitely...
It's something.
Is that must own? 6 still? Are we...
I'd
definitely
own him.
Not must start.
If he were available, I'd own him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go 7.
Okay, Steven Matz.
I'll go a little less than Syndergaard just because it's only 2 starts. I'll go 8.
Yeah, I'll go 9.
Yeah, Matz. Eduardo Rodriguez.
You keep one-upping me, Al.
Well, agreed with the downgrade, but I already started out at the higher place.
Al's going to go first this time, just to even the playing field. Eduardo Rodriguez, 0 to 10.
Scott's a good question. So does 5 signify that you must own him?
Well, I was doing 6.
Or 6?
Not necessarily. I'm answering my own question. I'm deciding the rules.
I would own him in a second if he were dropped in any of my leagues, Eduardo Rodriguez.
I'll go. Well, I gave McCullers a 7. I'll give Rodriguez a 6.
Less than McCullers.
Yeah.
I'm going to sandwich him between McCullers and Matz there with a 7.
See, now Scott's one-upping Al. Two-upping him.
Tide's turned.
Mike Montgomery.
Yeah, I'm going to go like 4. I know he's been sensational lately.
I'll go 6.
Who would you guys rather own?
He came back to earth a little bit with his last start.
Would you rather own Eduardo Rodriguez or Mike Montgomery?
Ed Rod.
Well, I graded Ed Rod higher, so. Yeah. Well, I guess we both did.
That was the start-o-meter, not necessarily the own-o-meter.
Fair enough.
But yeah. Carlos Rodon, that's a tricky one. I can't own him in a roto league. His whip is awful.
Okay, well, here's the distinction between startability and ownability. Because I'd be very unlikely to start Rodon right now, but at the same time, I do feel like I wouldn't let him go unowned either.
Okay, that's
so fair. Strictly thinking startometer here, or startometer.
Whatever you want.
maybe like a 3.
I'm exactly with Scott on that one, a 3. And speaking of 3, that's the number of road dongs he has allowed in his last 2 starts.
Ooh, that's bad. That's 4 overall. That's the one thing he had going for him. He wasn't giving up any extra base hits. What do you think Carlos Rodon's whip is?
High. I'll say 160.
Scott?
We'll
go closest without going over. Price is right.
161.
Oh, Scott, what a move. 164 whip.
Oh!
1-6! That's insane! Oh, man. Alright. Oh, and one more guy. Cody Anderson. Starting pitcher for Cleveland.
I'll put him 5. Just a little behind Montgomery.
I will go 4.
Would you rather own Rodon or Anderson?
Rodon.
Yeah.
Okay. So, as is usually the case on Monday, we got like a million pages of notes left.
And no time.
Well, we have some time.
A little time.
But we should speed this
up. You
know
who we haven't talked about yet?
Who?
That we should? Nathan Carnes.
Yeah, all right. Go for it.
10 strikeouts in 7 innings this last time out. And last 5 starts, just 6 earned runs total. 34 strikeouts in 30 and a third innings. Not getting burned by home runs like he did early in the career. And the strikeout rate is early in the year, not his career. And the strikeout rate's always been there. So I feel like now that he's pitching deeper into games, doing a better job of keeping the ball in the park, limiting runs in general, he deserves a little more attention in mixed leagues. I was surprised he wasn't on the most owned list because he's still only 61% owned. Some of those pitchers we just talked about, like, I'd rather own Montgomery than him, and he was lower on that list.
How about Irvin Santana?
I'd rather own Santana. I'd rather own Anderson. So maybe it's just a situation where starting pitching is starting to regain its depth a bit, and there's some tough cuts to make, and he just misses it. But Carnes is probably at least in, like, that Brett Anderson category for me, where he's being added a lot because it's a 2-start week, but are you going to own him after that? I could see you going either way.
Yeah, I think I'd be more inclined to probably keep Anderson than Carnes. All the boys think he's a spy, by the way.
Ooh, don't think I get that one.
Betty Davies' eyes?
Yes.
Oh.
It's by Kim Carnes.
Kim Carnes, okay.
I don't think I could hate that song anymore. I hate that song. Just saying.
All the boys think
she's a spy.
Think she's a spy.
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
I don't know.
That's a stupid song. That's why you don't know. Okay. There's actually one other guy that's owned in even fewer leagues than Carnes, and he's owned in fewer leagues than, let's see, Mike Bolsinger and Irvin Santana. His name is Matt Latos.
And Latos.
He was really, really good at the Cubs on Sunday. And this 2 pretty darn good starts in a row for Latos. 13 innings, 7 hits, 3 runs, 2 walks, 11 strikeouts last week. What do you think about Latos? 53% owned.
Yeah, he's good, and he probably won't be a Marlin for long, I'm guessing.
Oh, that's not a good thing.
I cut him Saturday night for Jason Grilli in the podcast league, and I regretted it very soon afterward. Because, has he maintained the velocity? I need to look that up. It wasn't available to me.
Yeah, I don't know about this last start, but he had each start.
The
prior.
Results weren't there. He'd made three starts since that 11 strikeout game against the Rockies, where we're all like, huh, maybe Matt Latos is back. So three starts with not a lot to show for it. That's why I was giving up on him. But if the velocity has held steady during that time and he bounces back with a one-hit performance like this, then I can cut him some slack for those three starts. It was just I needed to make a roster spot, and it seemed like a justifiable move at the time. Well, so his velocity hasn't been as good the last couple starts. That makes me feel a little better.
Yeah,
but it hasn't been bad. It hasn't been where it was at the beginning of the year.
Striking out seven Cubs is not exactly a huge feat. They strike out a ton, so
he's probably on equal footing as with Carms for me.
Is Eduardo Jimenez legit?
Define legit for him.
I think
that's a because I want to say yes. But it sort of depends on what your expectations are.
He has a 2.96 ERA right now with about a strikeout per inning and a 1.23 WHIP.
Yeah, he's been awesome.
Yeah, and he looked like he was falling off for a while there too, but then comes back to great starts, one run over 15 innings. So he's another guy who I dropped recently, and I'm regretting it now. But
don't regret it.
Al has a good Al brings up a good point. Because he doesn't throw as hard as he used to. He doesn't walk as many guys as he used to, and maybe that's a trade-off that's paying dividends. But I feel like the upside is lower, but he's a little more trustworthy.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't think he's legit in terms of I don't really expect the ERA or the WHIP to be this low at the end of the season. But I still think between the strikeouts and, what should be a decent ERA, not necessarily a great WHIP. I would probably be willing to start him at least 50% of the time.
Julio Teheran, are you going to start him at Milwaukee this week? Keep in mind, he's great at home. 2.04 ERA at home this year. 7.40 ERA on the road.
Brewers are heating up, though. I don't think that's an easy call. I'd say I'd probably lean no.
Yeah, I'm not. Unless it's a two-star week, I'm not starting him on the road.
Yeah, it's weird. Danny Salazar has a 4.10 ERA. What's up with that?
A lot of home runs, and recently not a lot of innings. Less than five, I think, in three of the last four. Stray ERA is still great, and I don't feel like control's as much of an issue as it used to be, but just the home runs are burning him right now, and kind of getting back to the efficiency issues he had prior to this year that kept getting him, moving him, bumping him from the rotation and out of the minds of fantasy owners. So I think he's must-own still. I'm not that as trusting in him as I was just a couple weeks ago.
Let's read emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Brent, two-start Brett Anderson over a one-start Steven Matz.
Ooh.
Matz has the Diamondbacks at home.
Yeah, I think I'm going Matz.
I think so, too.
Grade the trade from Mike Fixell in Mukwonago, Wisconsin. Grade the trade of give Jose Reyes and Colin McHugh.
Yep.
Get Cole Hamels and Steven Matz. I already have Carlos Correa to replace Reyes. So give up Reyes and McHugh, get Hamels and Matz. 10-team points league.
That's a B+. I'll bump it up to an A- with contextual extra credit.
And one-upping me yet again, I was thinking B and B+ with the extra credit.
Somebody gave us a fake name, and I didn't want to read it because I didn't know if somebody was playing a big joke on me. So I'm just going to say from fake name, dear Ronnie, Vic, and Shane, are these starting pitchers top 100 rest of season? Andrew Heaney, Matt Whistler, Drew Hutchison, Patrick Corbin, Bartolo Colon, Nathan Carnes. Who's top 100 in that group?
I think probably everybody but Whistler.
I might leave out Hutchison, too.
Ugh, stupid Hutchison. I just don't get it. Like the Julio Teheran home road splits don't make sense. He's great at home and bad on the road. And the Drew Hutchison home road splits make even less sense. He's great at home and terrible on the road. Just, it's very strange.
Yeah. there hasn't been enough good there to keep me interested in him. I think there's a reasonable chance he doesn't keep his rotation spot all season, the way he's going now.
Mike from Pewaukee, Wisconsin. Is Ian Desmond borderline droppable in a 10-team head-to-head league? Ibar, Alcides Escobar, Simeon, Flores, and Cesar Hernandez are available.
I'm not dropping him. I feel like every time this comes up, I'm podcasting with Chris, so maybe I don't need to be the one talking about it again. But I feel like, are any of those other shortstops going to be the difference between you winning your league and not? Probably not. It's such a weak position. There are so few options worth owning that you might as well just stick with the guy who can potentially become that if he gets his act together. I probably would pick up Hernandez and start him over Desmond at this point. But those others, just leaving him out there. They're not a difference maker, and especially in a 10-team league.
Yeah, all that sounds good to me. I mean, I think I have referred to Desmond as borderline droppable in that kind of league. But not for these options. I mean, if it was the kind of thing where, you know, like when Correa was called up, I would have been okay with dropping Desmond in a shallow league, but not to drop him, just to drop him, no.
And finally, Brad in South Carolina. What is Ryan Zimmerman's value going forward? 12-team roto league.
I'm not rushing to pick him up when he comes off the DL. I probably would in the 12-team roto, but if somebody bid a dollar more for him than me, I'd be like, eh, oh well.
Yeah, and if I was buying Zimmerman, you know, from an owner, I wouldn't be willing to give up anything other than a player that I might be willing to cut for him.
Fellas, I have the BVP, batter versus pitcher all-stars for today.
You love these.
I have actually found it to be a very reliable split, but okay. We are going to, I'm going to test that tonight. I actually wasn't able to put too many of these guys in my lineup, but some cheap guys who have great batter versus pitcher stats. Justin Upton, 8-for-16 with 2 home runs and 2 doubles against Burnett. Marlon Byrd, 5-for-12 with a home run and a double against Pfister. Chris Coughlin, 8-for-14 with a double against Lackey. Coughlin's actually $100 more than Upton and Byrd. Melky Cabrera talked about he's 2,600. Yoenis Cespedes is in my lineup. $3,500, a little expensive for the way he's been hitting, but 10-for-24 with 3 home runs and 5 doubles. 8 extra base hits and 24 at bats against Hisashi Iwakuma, who's just coming off the DL. And, Jason Hayward is 8-for-15 with a home run and 4 doubles against John Lester. So, you could look at those guys if you are just searching for someone to put in your lineup. Maybe you go with a BVP guy. A cheaper one like Upton, Justin Upton, Marlon Byrd, Coughlin, Melky, something like that.
Run through those names again real quick.
Justin Upton.
Uh-huh.
2,800. Marlon Byrd, 2,800. Chris Coughlin, 2,900. Melky Cabrera, 2,600. Yoenis Cespedes, 3,500. And Jason Hayward, 3,400.
The only one that was on my list of players that I was narrowing down to form my lineup was Marlon Byrd.
Well, I don't. Yeah, I mean, look.
I'm just saying. I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying those are that's the one guy where our feelings today intersect.
Yeah, I'm down with that. I think that the Cespedes numbers are really interesting to me. But anyway, I'll stop talking now. Scott, you already made your lineup?
I did. Yeah.
All right. What are we looking at here?
Well, I don't want to give away the lineup and. Then nobody cares to watch the show.
Okay.
But I will give you some names here, guys I was interested. First, let's start at starting pitcher, because that's always the most important decision you can make. To me, it's between Chris Sale at 11-5 and Carlos Carrasco at 9-7. Sale is obviously getting double-digit strikeouts every time, but as you mentioned earlier, Adam, he's going against the Blue Jays, who are great against both types of pitchers, but I think they're still the best against left-handed pitchers, and that's what Sale is. So, kind of a scary matchup. I would not be dissuaded by the matchup personally, but if the rest of the world is, that's something to consider, especially for cash games. Because, you know, if everybody if like 60% of the lineups are starting Carlos Carrasco at 9,700, and he does have a good start against the Astros, who strike out a lot, he has a double-digit strikeout start. And Sale is still good, but not quite as good as usual. It'll be hard to cash in a cash game. So, on the fence about that, I'm leaning Sale because of how consistent he's been. And I feel like I can put together a good lineup, even spending the extra money. But Carrasco is a very, very close second today.
Yeah, I like to throw out a couple other pitchers.
Go ahead.
Not throw them out.
Burnett.
Yeah. I will definitely have a Burnett lineup. That's, to me, the biggest temptation to not start Sale, and I don't think I'm going to cave into it. But Padres strike out a lot. Burnett's just playing good. That Carrasco versus Keuchel matchup worries me for both pitchers in terms of getting the win. I think Burnett has a better chance there. And I will almost certainly also have a Chris Heston lineup.
Yeah, I'm going to have a Heston lineup, too. A tournament lineup.
Tournament lineup for him.
Obviously, I don't expect him to compare to Sailing.
Yeah.
Carrasco.
All right, get Yasmani Grandal and Jock Peterson. Peterson's only 3,300. Get Jock Peterson in your lineup. Lefties just destroy Sean O'Sullivan. They have an OPS over 1,100.
Yep. Well, I like all Dodgers today. I mean, Ethier is cheap. Gonzalez, I might hold out to the very last second on Gonzalez, seeing if he's in the lineup, because it's worth it at $3,000.
I like Chris Davis against Phil Hughes. I think he has pretty good numbers against Phil Hughes.
Okay.
Brian Dozier I have against the lefty Wei-Yin Chen. Michael Franco. Who's pitching for the Dodgers today?
Nobody good.
I think it's, and you're right, because I'm trying
filling
to think of
the guy. Filling in for Carlos
Frias. Surkamp.
Okay, oh, Eric
right.
Surkamp.
And
he's left-handed, right?
He's yes. A lefty, and Franco has an OPS over 900 against lefties. And I have Gene Segura, Justin Upton, Yoenis Cespedes, Jock Peterson. So,
one hitter you haven't mentioned yet.
Yep.
Who I think is the best value play of the day. Alex Gordon, who homered yesterday, 2,200 going against Alex Colomé, who gives up his share of home runs. 2,200, Alex Gordon, starting all-star. Who's been fine this year. I don't know why his price has fallen to 2,200, but he's a must today, I think.
And I'll throw out a couple of bargains of my own for the Cubs. Soler coming off the DL, 2,600. And Miguel Montero, 2,300 against John Lackey, who will be pitching on the road where he's not very good.
Excellent. Okay, then. That's it for me. Anything else from you guys?
It's a good day to start Bryce Harper.
Every day is a good day to start.
The most expensive hitter I'm looking to play.
Bryce Harper. Well, yeah. Watch the show at 4 p.m. Eastern, Daily Fantasy Live, CBSSports.com. Alan, Scott, good to hear from you again. Hope you had that great, rested, boring, catch-up on a lot of stuff 3-day weekend, because that's what I had.
You hope we had a boring weekend.
Yeah, boring's good sometimes, you know?
Yeah, I did, and it was good.
Except I made a huge mistake. I went to the Yankees game on Friday. I left in the 10th inning, and I missed a walk-off home run. Yep, party foul. Scott, now thanks, guys.
Thank you, Adam.
I'm Adam Azer. We'll talk to you tomorrow.